Welcome to the program. That's a difficult topic, and it's really necessary that you listen and so that we can implement what we document in this video. The Roman Church has paraded all its glory before the world as Pope Francis came to the United States of America in September 2015. And we have to see just what was presented to the world to make it look as if the Roman Church is a genuine church. If the Roman Church is accepted as a genuine Christian church, it has dire consequences for individual believers and for nations. This is seen in history, and we could give many examples, but I give just a few. In my own Ireland, in 1172, the pastors of the Christian churches all over Ireland and the people of the Catholic Church accepted the Catholic Church as a genuine form of Christianity. And that meant the end of the true Christian faith in Ireland in 1172. Now, it was done with murderous intent by Pope Alexander III and King Henry II of England. With military might, the people were forced to submit to the Church of Rome. And they did so. How different it would have been if they had been willing to sacrifice their lives for the sake of the gospel of grace. How different it could have been. But they submitted to accept the Roman Church as if it were the true church and if it were genuinely Christian. And that meant, for the most part, the end of true Christian faith in Ireland. To this day, there is a lot of good Christian work going on in Ireland, and there had been even in the north for many, many years. And in the south, there are a lot of Christian works now, but for the most part, it is ruled by Rome. And it is horrendous to see all the artifacts of Rome with statues to Mary and the saints and all in the different cities and towns as you travel across that nation. That was in Ireland in 1172. In somewhat a similar way, in Poland in the 1560s, beginning in the 1560s, the Jesuits entered Poland. The Poland had become reformed and true biblical faith from the time of the Reformation. It was very, very widely accepted biblical faith and true Christian life. And the Jesuits came in 1560s, and they started to found colleges, and they started to influence the different rulers and princes in Poland, and got into educational facilities, and they started to form colleges right across Poland. And so, in a matter of years, the Roman Church was accepted as the true church. And for the most part, Christian faith that had come from the Reformation was lost in Poland. And we could give far more details than that, but that's just an overview, and it breaks your heart to see what happens when the Roman Church is accepted as a genuine church. In a similar way, from the 1600s, from 1600 to 1610, the Jesuits were the foremost in the Counter-Reformation in Hungary. And they set about successfully reconverting people from the Christian faith back to Romanism. And the golden age of biblical faith in Hungary was lost in a similar way that it had been lost in Poland and in Ireland. And so it has been in many other nations. We could give many other examples, but that just illustrates the point. In many other nations, it has been the same, and it has often been the same with a Jesuit or Jesuits leading the field. The Jesuits have been known to be shrewdly intellectual and dramatically Roman Catholic and how they implement Romanism in a country. And now we have another Jesuit, Pope Francis. He makes no bones about the fact that he was trained a Jesuit, and he still is very much a Jesuit and acts very much like a Jesuit. And it was very much as a Jesuit that he paraded the glory of the Roman Church for all the people to see in the United States of America in September 2015. He made the pomp and the glory of Rome to be seen coast to coast and by television and newscasts and over the internet. And you can still see on the internet his message to Congress, his speaking in St. Patrick's Cathedral and on, you can see these messages as they are still there on the internet. Pope Francis presenting the Roman Church as if it were a genuine Christian church, and the world bowing down to it, and people accepting Romanism who did not accept before that it was a genuine church. I want to read the exact words of what the New York Times said about this visit, and it is significant because there are many, many other news agencies who have similar statements regarding the Pope's coming to the United States. So I quote from the New York Times. Welcomed with a fanfare of trumpets and a chorus of amens, Pope Francis introduced himself to the United States on Wednesday with a bracing message on climate change, immigration, and poverty that ranged from pastoral to political. On a day that blended the splendor of an ancient church with the frenzy of a modern rock star, Francis waded quietly but forcefully into some of the more polarizing issues of American civic life. End of quotation. The lauding of Francis by the New York Times and on other news agencies lauded him and his church, the ancient church, as the New York Times called it there. It is this acceptance of Romanism that has taken place in the United States of America. With Pope Francis, it appeared as nothing was too lofty or beyond his insight and judgment, and nothing too lowly mortal to reach that he could reach out in his mercy. It was as if unseen hands were secretly orchestrating them. Crowds chanted homage and acclamation to the Roman Pontiff. To all appearances, the world was wondering after Pope Francis in great admiration for his power, his policy, and his pomp. Very few people tried to comprehend the truth of who Francis is and of the institution that he directs. Very few even bothered to analyze what he said. And it is for us to show just exactly what he said and what his institution is, so that we are not taken in as were people of old, people who accepted Romanism and then paid the consequences in their own personal life, in their families, and in their nations. So we must analyze some of the things that happened and analyze Romanism itself. We start, for example, of the Pope at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. On September the 24th, Francis offered prayers for the hundreds of Muslim pilgrims killed during Islam's Hajj, saying, I would like to express two sentiments for my Muslim brothers and sisters. My sentiments of closeness in the face of tragedy that they suffered in Mecca. In this moment, I give assurances of my prayers, and I unite myself with you all, a prayer to the Almighty God, all merciful. But you can see that this is in accord with the official teaching that Francis accepts of his Roman Church, where he and his church accept the Muslim faith officially. It's in paragraph 841 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator. In the first place among them are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us, they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day. Pope Francis' acceptance and expression of unity of faith with Allah of Islam is an abomination before the one holy true God. The Lord God commands us in his word, "For thou shalt not worship any other God, for I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another." You cannot say you're Christian if at the same time you're uniting in prayer with Allah, in praying as if it was one God. There is only one true God. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. There is none other. And for the Pope to pray to this other God and unite himself with Muslims is an abomination before God, and it is blasphemy. And so it is that we see the wickedness of this Roman system, that they see Muslims as one in faith with themselves. They do the same with the Buddhists and the Hindus. And it is heartbreaking that anybody could think that this church is Christian when it does this sort of thing. And now, on a par with this, there is the moral evil of Roman Catholic priests, the child abuse that has continued coast to coast in America and in all the nations of the world, the phenomenon of the gross immorality of Roman Catholic priests. This has been seen, it is not just going back to 2002, when the Boston Globe was one of the first newspapers in the world and news agencies to make this problem known. I quote from the Boston Globe in 2002. "From Canada to Australia, South Africa to Hong Kong, across Europe and Ireland, and to Pope Paul John II's native Poland, clergy sex abuse cases and enduring cover-ups have proven to be a worldwide problem." And that problem continues. It doesn't make the same headlines that it used to, but it still continues and has not abated. And the abuse is not about one nation or one country, it's about an institution, and it's worldwide. This child abuse lies, immorality. And so I'd like to give some recent reports. In the United States, for example, NPR News wrote on their internet webpage news concerning what was happening in the twin cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, August the 5th, 2015. "Monday's deadline for filing claims has passed. Bankruptcy case of Twin Cities Archdiocese moved to its next stage. By the deadline, more than 600 claims have been filed, including 407 alleged victims of clergy abuse." And so in the Twin Cities in the United States, 407 clergy cases abuse was revealed. On June the 15th, 2015, the New York Times reported the Archbishop of St. Paul, Minnesota, and Minnesota and deputy bishop resigned Monday after prosecutors recently charged the archdiocese with having failed to protect youths from abuse at the hands of paedophile priests. So paedophile priests on the ramp looking for victims, as it were, in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And this reported in the New York Times on June the 15th. Now we'll find that it's worldwide. There is an organization that you should know about. You can find it easy on the internet. It is SNAP. It is the organization for those who have survived clergy abuse. And it reports worldwide and in the United States the abuses that are taking place daily. And it documents them and gives you records. For example, we have in the quotation that I'm just going to read from the webpage snapnetwork.org. SNAP makes known a movie detailing massive abuse cover-up in Boston. The movie documents that abuse from offices in Waltham, Massachusetts, where there are floor-to-ceiling files of more than 100,000 pages of church reports, court documents, media reports, letters from mothers of victims, victims themselves, and even abusers detailing their crimes. The organization SNAP says, "How can you spend your work days chronicling thousands of cases of Catholic priestly sexual abuse and still remain a Catholic? How can somebody read about these abuses and still remain a Catholic?" So SNAP, that organization, asked the question. And it is a very good question, because how can anybody look as if this church were genuinely Christian or stay in a church that has this horrendous history, and the history continues day by day, nation by nation across the world? It is recognized and accepted by the Catholic Church itself that it is the Roman Catholic law that priests are not allowed to marry that has been a root cause of all these things. The Roman Catholic law by which they have been forbidden to marry. And so it is that we have forced celibacy dominating, and men who are meant to marry and have children are forbidden to marry. And so the predictable outcome, it drives these men to illicit acts, priests corrupt women, boys and girls, acts of fornication, adultery, and sodomy, and on it goes. It is known that this law came about by a certain pope in history. It was the well-known Gregory the VII, also known as Hildebrand, his name before he became pope. In 1075, he issued a decree effectively barring married priests from ministries, a discipline formalized by the First Lateran Council in 1123. That quotation is actually from a Catholic webpage, it's uscatholic.org, who said that it was in 1075 that Pope Gregory issued a decree effectively barring priests, married priests, from ministry. And so it is that it's a Catholic law, and it has existed for 940 years. Now it's hinted that Pope Francis, who changes a lot of traditions and has been known to change a lot of things, he might indeed, would he change this law? It's very unlikely that he would, but there are financial reasons that he should, because it not only horrendously disrupts families, leaves scars on people's minds and consciences of young people who were abused, and horrendously breaks up families across the USA and different parts of the world. Its evil effects in society are still seen day by day, but financially, it is also a huge burden on the Roman Catholic Church itself. So I'd like to quote from the Guardian newspaper. Pope Francis has hailed US bishops for their handling of sexual abuse cases that has rocked the Catholic Church for decades, saying that they have shown courage throughout and regained the authority and trust which was demanded of them. Between 2004 and 2013, US dioceses paid $1.7 billion in legal settlements. $1.7 billion in legal settlements, according to a report released last year by the US Conference of Bishops. In the same period, it also paid $379 million in legal fees. So legal fees for cases taken against the Catholic Church by the parents of victims, and then the legal settlements going into $1.7 billion has cost the Roman Catholic Church a lot. That doesn't in any way match the horrific moral damage that has been done to families across this nation and to families across the world. My own Ireland is a notable example of what was called, was it the Murphy Report? It was horrendous that the Ireland was one of the worst nations for the amount of victims that had come from priestly child abuse. It is horrendous. And so it is that Pope Francis may rescind this law for financial reasons, though it is even unlikely that it would do that, because they want to have their priests like robots, and they want to have them so that they can command them to do this and to do that. And if a priest were married, he would talk to his wife and have some little freedom or something. But they do want any independence. They want their priests to be subservient to the Catholic Church itself, as they are at the present day. So it's very unlikely that they would ever be allowed to marry. And so it is that we have this horrendous. We could go on and this, as SNAP does and other organizations, but we will not dwell on this any longer. But equal to this, on a par with this, is the dogmas of the Catholic Church, saying that they transmit grace and that they bring life to a soul. And I'd like to quote what Pope Francis said on May the 3rd, 2015, regarding the sacraments of the Catholic Church. He said, "Jesus is the vine, and through him we are the branches. And through this parable, Jesus wants us to understand the importance of remaining united to him. Grafted by baptism in Christ, we have freely received from him the gift of new life, and we are able to remain in vital communion with Christ. We must remain faithful to baptism and grow in friendship with the Lord through prayer, listening, and docility to his word, reading the gospel, participation in the sacraments, especially the Eucharist and reconciliation." So he focuses on the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, that is the Mass and Communion, and reconciliation is the modern name for confession, whispering your sins into the ear of a priest. That is not the way we get life. Life does not come transmitted by material physical sacraments. There's only one mediator, and that's Christ Jesus. And we come to God in him to confess our sins, and not to any church or any supposed ritual that would bring us God's grace. But this is horrendous, and this is the root cause too for why the priests are so immoral. They are the ones closest to the Eucharist. They are the ones closest to confession. They give confession, and they could get confession. They're the one closest to all these sacraments, and they're the ones known for their immoral lives more and more, even more than the average Catholics are these priests, known for their immorality. and they are so close to the sacraments. They're the one who dish out and work the sacraments. It shows you that this is the root cause, that the Catholic Church does not have a gospel. It turns people to look to rituals for salvation. And that is heartbreaking, because we have sincere Catholics really believing that if you go and speak your sins into the ear of a priest and he will give you absolution, you will be forgiven. That is not the way that sins are forgiven. It is official Catholic teaching. Let me read their official statement from their catechism. The Church affirms that for believers the sacraments of the New Covenant are necessary for salvation. Sacramental grace is the grace of the Holy Spirit given by Christ and proper to each sacrament. How audacious can you get, claiming that your sacraments are necessary for salvation and that you give the Holy Spirit? It's the Father who sends forth the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, the glorious Lord, not any ritualistic sacrament. This is an abomination before God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And we are saved, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And the Catholic Church have it of works, their own works called sacraments. And they do boast about their sacraments. This is horrendous, and it is something we are really horrified to read these exact words. The riches of Christ Jesus are known, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. Jesus Christ shows the riches of his grace by directly giving us forgiveness, giving us everlasting life as we trust upon his finished work and look to God only in him to forgive our sins. He is the one who through the Holy Spirit sanctifies us day by day. And not any church and not any religious ritual. And so we see this teaching. One of the sacraments was highlighted, and it was on the Vatican News webpage, about the Pope giving priests special powers during the year of Jubilee to forgive the sin of having an abortion. And I'd like to read what this account says. Pope Francis specifically turned his attention to women who have resorted to abortion and feared the scar of this agonizing and painful decision, saying the forgiveness of God cannot be denied to one who has repented. For this reason, he writes, I have decided to concede to all priests for the Jubilee year the discretion to absolve the sin of abortion, those who have procured it, and who with contrite heart seek forgiveness for it. So Pope Francis gives permission to priests to forgive the sin of having had an abortion. And it is horrendous to think that he, as a man with pontifical hat on his head, and thinks that he has power to give to priests who are below him permission to forgive sins of having an abortion. It's in line with the official Catholic teaching that says anyone who desires to obtain reconciliation with God and the Church must confess to a priest all unconfessed grave sins he remembers after having carefully examined his conscience. That is the official teaching of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1493 of the Catechism. But that's not the teaching of Scripture. In Scripture, we're told that we look to God to forgive us our sins. As it says in Isaiah, I, even I, am he that blots out thy transgressions and make make of my own sake, I will not remember thy sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's God who forgives us our sins. It is no ritual or man calling himself a priest. This is biblical truth. But for Catholics, it's going to a priest. And this permission that he gave to priests to forgive sins is horrendous, and it is a blasphemy against God to presume that any human being, sinful himself, and we see that these priests, most of all, are most sinful of those in the Roman system, should propose that he could forgive people's sins. We grieve over this, and we look that Catholics, and dear Catholic, looking at this program, I ask you to look unto Christ Jesus, as the Lord says in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Look to Christ Jesus and ask him to set you free from this horrendous system and come to new life as you would trust in Christ and Christ alone. And so it is that we document the immorality of the priests and the immorality of their teaching, because it's immoral to teach people a wrong way of salvation and say that sacramental grace comes through the sacraments. That is morally wrong and evil. And I think that Lord Acton, the quite well-known Acton, said it precisely of what Rome is. He said, it is the fiend skulking behind the crucifix. Pretending to be Christian, it's a fiend skulking behind the crucifix. We have a system claiming to be Christian that is like a fiend or a devil from hell. It is the lesson we learn. The evil that the scripture speaks about when it talks about the mystery of evil, the mystery of iniquity, is not atheists, prostitutes, drunkards and the like, but false religion. That's what is at stake. The mystery of iniquity is a false religion teaching people a system that will lead them to hell. And we have seen that Francis' teaching, like his church, are accomplished through physical things. The first lie of Satan in the Garden of Eden was to convince Eve and then Adam that it was right to take of the fruit of good and evil, that they would know good and evil, the forbidden fruit. They were to look upon a physical thing to give them understanding. They looked upon the fruit and ate it as if the physical fruit would give them the way to have knowledge and understanding. And of course, we know the consequences of that sin. And so the Catholic Church also looks to a physical thing and physical rituals as if they could give life. And so we have the darkness cover the world as Pope Francis parades his teaching nation by nation. It's not just that he came here to the United States, he's been to many other countries. I just read yesterday on the internet that Belfast in Ireland have invited him to come to their city in Northern Ireland. And on, many other countries have invited, and he has been. He's been to the Middle East, he's been to many other countries of the world, and he continues to parade Romanism as if it were respectable and to get the adulation of people. But that is what breaks your heart, was the acceptance of Romanism in the United States of America. The United States, known for many years to be sound biblically, and to see people accept this horrendous system as if it were genuine, it breaks your heart. And when we know historically other nations and peoples who accepted Romanism as genuine, what it did to families, society, and nations as a whole, We must cry out to God and to know how to answer this abomination. I think it is great that organizations that I've mentioned, like SNAP, allow you to see what's going on in other countries. And there are other organizations like SNAP. And I would ask you to find out in your nation what organizations are making these horrors known. I thank God that this program will be viewed in Australia, in New Zealand, in Europe, right across Europe and the English-speaking world. This program will go forth. And I thank God for the emails we get and responses we get from different parts of the world as we make videos. Now I ask you in other nations, look for the organizations and let us hear from you and let us hear what you are doing. I really encourage, and so are the different volunteers, very few in number that work together with me. We're very encouraged to see that this has already been done. One of our men who edits my videos has remarked that now there are many people in different nations who are getting our message out and are making their own videos and getting the message out. And so this wasn't something that we brought about, like the Spirit of the Living God has been moving in people's hearts. And that is a great encouragement to me, that not just that this video will be made known in many, many countries, but that similar videos we made in these countries, and more we would hear of similar work to expose the wickedness of the Roman system. And so please email us and let us know that the few helpers we have would be encouraged, and that we would know of other organizations and other ministries who do the same work as we do. You should know my email address that we use for these matters. It is RichardMBennett@yahoo.com, and that email address will be given on your screen. We would love to hear from you, because it's important that we make a stand nation by nation and in different languages of the world. I thank God too that we have the ability to get the soundtrack into other languages, and we hope to get this video up in other languages too, and to hear from people in other language groups. We have 8 different languages on our webpage, and it'd be great to get this video put into or subtitled in other languages, so that we have people who speak other languages besides English making these truths known and communicating with us, because we have really few but devout people who work together with us in other nations, in nations like Slovakia, Hungary, and of course Italy, and on and on. In Brazil, in South America, we have people who work together with us. Portuguese has been really encouragement to us, as a Portuguese people there have been consistently great in getting our messages out. And I just thank God for the real revival of biblical faith that we're seeing in Brazil. So it is that man-made salvation does not work. And I think that in sight of the horrendous things we have seen, we should go back to the Word of God to get encouragement. Go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. It is as grace, sin has abounded, the same Romans 5 said, that grace might much more abound. Sin has abounded in the Roman Church, and its consequences have been felt nation by nation. Let us pray that grace would much more abound through Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And we pray this, and we see this happening. It was such an encouragement to me in October 2013, as I traveled over right across Southern Ireland and Northern Ireland, speaking in different churches right across that nation for nearly 2 weeks, to see the amount of sound biblical churches in the South. It was such an encouragement to me. I just thank God that we have the Lord's people and sound Christian living and teaching in nations that had been, that had their Christianity, as it were, stolen from them back in 1172. And to see the growth of true Christian faith in Southern Ireland, it is an encouragement to me. And I know the same is true in other countries of the world. I have seen up to last Sunday here in the United States, in a small town, and of course I've seen a wonderfully solid biblical church. And it's amazing how we see these solid grace churches springing up everywhere. And we pray that more and more the Lord of glory would show his hand, and that we would have confidence that he is victorious. It is a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Then it is I go back to Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy in his love. He will rejoice over thee with singing. The Lord will externally show his hand in your life as you look to him. God Almighty, let your prayers be big because the evil is big. Let your prayers be big and see your prayers answered on a mighty scale. And I'll ask you to deal with individual Catholics. And this is probably one of the more encouraging things we get. As I say, only of us a group of small workers who work together with me on a voluntary basis. But we get lovely emails from people, Catholics whose hearts have been touched. And if you're one of those here today and your Lord is touching your heart, let us hear from you. I gave my email address, it'll be given again on your screen. Let us hear from you. And we will share with you what the Lord is doing in our lives, and you share with us. And we know the grace of God is magnified. It speaks about Christ Jesus' grace as abundant and rich. And so we know when we pray to him, he answers our prayer. And the depravity of sin is overcome as we repent. And we obey the commandment in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We have no dealings with Romanism. We reprove it. And we show forth the gospel of Christ. And I ask that we go back personally. I remember in my own life personally, having been a Roman Catholic priest for 22 years, in September 1985, seeing that I was destitute. I still drink, I still have horrendously bad thoughts. I want to know what Scripture says. I've read Scripture. I see the gospel message that it is based on the Bible alone. It's by grace alone. It's through faith alone. It's in Christ alone. And we pray only to God, not to anybody else. I saw that, but I still wasn't saved. And I got on my knees before God and I cried out, God in heaven, what do I do? And the Lord was glorious with me. He showed me Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. In my mind, I knew that verse. You being dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened? I admitted that I was spiritually dead. And I cried out, God, give me the faith and the grace. And it was after about 3 or 4 minutes, I sensed the grace of God moving in my heart and in my soul. And I put my hands to heaven and said, I thank you, Father, that you've given me your grace. And I know that I have peace with you and peace with my own heart. And I know that I will know you now and for eternity in Christ Jesus. I said, to you be the praise and the glory. And from that day on, I was saved biblically. It can be the same for you. And it is wonderful when we hear from you and other people like you. It's wonderful that we hear, and it's an encouragement to our hearts. We're a very small work, but it's an encouragement to us and a few helpers to hear from you. And as I ask that you set up things like this yourself in your own nations and let us know. Let us know what's going on. And that is encouragement to us. And if we can encourage you and you can encourage us, let us do so. And it's easy to do so by email. And so that God will be glorified. Wherefore, let us listen to the Holy Spirit. Do not neglect the message that you've heard. The message of the Holy Spirit in this message today, because it has been based on Scripture alone. And let us read the Scriptures. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Harden not your heart to this message. If you're a Bible believer, but you've never really contended for the faith before, you've never made a stand, you've never sought out Catholics so you could give them the gospel, repent. Christ's commandment was, go ye, give the word to every creature. And if you have not gone forth and given the gospel, repent. And if you are one in the church and in its rituals, repent. It is not your fault that you got in. You probably got in because your parents had you baptized and it was your tradition in your family. Repent of all of that. Forgive the people who brought you into Catholicism. Leave it and let your voice be heard. Send your letter of resignation to the parish you're in and give glory to God. And we praise him. And so we praise God to the glory of his grace, for grace has abounded, sin has much more abounded. And we give him the praise, the glory, and the worship, and the honor, now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Praise God.